America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. The latest phase of ramped-up immigration enforcement activities that began in and around Chicago on Tuesday coincided with Mexican Independence Day. Now, this is usually a time of huge celebrations and parades in Chicago. Elena Gonzalez works with the Chicago History Museum. She's a curator of their current exhibit on the history and culture of Chicago's Latino communities. And she tells the Sun-Times the timing of these raids, it wasn't random.
It's an effort to strike fear into the hearts of local communities and to attack our culture and our traditions and the things that hold us together and bring us together.
Gonzalez notes, while immigrant communities are feeling a great deal of stress, this is also time for people to continue to be a presence in Chicago and to take care of one another. Meantime, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum has condemned the death on Friday of a man who was shot in suburban Franklin Park by U.S. immigration agents. Sheinbaum says Mexico has requested information from the U.S. government and has demanded a thorough investigation of the death of Silvero Villegas Gonzalez. Authorities claim he was evading arrest, and then he dragged an ICE agent with his vehicle before he was fatally shot. Immigrant rights activists and Illinois elected officials are also raising questions about whether the government's account is accurate. The agents were not wearing body cameras at the time of the shooting. And Cook County President Tony Preckwinkle is showing support for a county resolution to denounce the tactics federal ICE agents are using to carry out immigration enforcement. This comes as immigration and customs enforcement activity is escalating around Chicago. And at a press conference today, Preckwinkle said these tactics create fear and break trust between residents and law enforcement.
Plainclothes agents, unmarked cars, and the refusal to provide identification are not hallmarks of transparency or accountability. Instead, they raise the risk of abuse, intimidation, and impersonation. This is unacceptable.
Cook County commissioners are expected to vote on that resolution tomorrow. And architecture buffs can see 30 new sites at this year's Open House Chicago Festival. The fest is October 18th and 19th. It's a free event every year. It gives people a behind-the-scenes look at some buildings across the city. This year, attendees can visit places like the late Steve Albini's recording studio in Avondale, Electrical Audio, and the Hilliard Tower Apartments in Chinatown. You're listening to The Rundown. The number of Chicago public school students in special education is at its highest number in at least 15 years. But this summer, the school district cut about 1,000 special education positions. And then after classes started this year, the district reopened hundreds of those positions. The back and forth is leaving many people questioning what is going on, and parents say their children, they're getting left behind. My colleague Sarah Karp has this report.
After her daughter's school was threatened with closure, Casey Lira felt she had no choice but to transfer her children to a new school, Chase Elementary in Logan Square. Her 8-year-old daughter, who has curly black hair and a sweet smile, was nervous.
Really sad. So many questions. How am I going to be in that school? I don't know anybody. I don't know the teachers.
Lira was worried too. Her daughter has a learning disability that requires special lesson plans and other support. And Lara did everything she could think of to prepare the new school for her daughter's arrival. She talked to the principal and hand-delivered her individualized education plan. That's the legal document that outlines the support she needs.
I thought I did my part informing the school. This is the student that is coming. These are the necessities that my daughter has in order to succeed in the school.
What Lara didn't know is that this year, CPS changed the way special education positions are handed out. There were two changes. One, fewer classroom aides were being automatically assigned to classes for students with more significant disabilities. And two, this summer CPS refused to add positions to schools based on expected enrollment, as it has done in the past. but they promised to reassess the situation once classes started in the fall. What did these changes mean? Lots of principals knew they had too few teachers and aides. They appealed, but were told they needed to wait. Meanwhile, in the first weeks of school, Lyra's daughter came home overwhelmed.
Seeing her grades and saying, "I'm sorry, mommy, I tried, but I just can't understand what they're saying. It's just too hard."
At first, Lyra didn't know what was going on. Then she got a letter that the school district is legally required to send when students aren't getting the services they need.
I received a letter that my daughter's IEP will not be supported at all out of 450 minutes of academic support that she needed. She will receive zero.
Many parents, school board members, and others suspect these changes were made to save money as CPS grappled with a massive budget deficit. Budget Director Mike Sikowski says that's not true.
While there are some changes and we'll see some changes in this space, I'll say right off the bat that unequivocally these are not related to the overall budget challenges CPS is facing.
Instead, CPS officials say these changes will help, quote, right-size the number of staff, where in the past some schools would have too many and others would have too few. After the school year started, CPS undertook what they call a true-up process and added back 200 special education teacher positions and about 400 aides. But principals, teachers, and advocates say this process makes no sense. Students in special education, like all students, should have been able to start the school year with the support in place that they need. And they question whether schools will be able to fill these recently added positions after the start of the school year. Lori Bovino heads the union's special education committee.
So all of that kind of created this chaos where there were positions that were cut and then they were reinstated, but those teachers were already gone to different schools. And so now we have kind of a mess within the schools.
Chase Elementary's principal appealed for 5 additional teachers this summer. CPS officials say the school was just recently given preliminary approval for those positions, but they have yet to be filled. Now nearly a month into the school year, Casey Lyra's daughter still is not receiving any of the support that she needs. The mom is at her wit's end.
Something in paper might seem to be right, but we're not talking about papers. We're not talking about numbers. There's lives involved.
Sarah Karp, WBZ News.
Weather for tonight, clear skies, a low in the low 60s, and then Thursday, sunny and hot with a high near 90. It should be a little cooler near the lake. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thanks for listening.